All right. Good morning, guys. So good to be with you this morning. Normally about this hour, I'm contemplating ways to how to pry my 10-year-old from his bed to get ready for school. And so this is a change of pace for me. But it is good to be with you. The other three that are school age, I have six kids. The other three that are school age are a little bit easier to get out of bed, but my 10-year-old that's very quickly turning into a middle schooler is it's challenging. So nice change of pace. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, we'll be looking at verses 31 through 34 together. Like I said, just a joy to be with you this morning to open God's word together. And thank you, TJ, and for Jeff to ask to open God's word with you. As we look at our passage this morning, we know that this late in Luke's gospel, we are considering the priorities of Jesus as he's really the cross is looming, right? He is going to the cross. He has set his eyes on the cross, and we see in his interactions very pointed and directed priorities for of Jesus for his church, particularly for the apostles. And so that's where we're looking at this interaction between Jesus and Peter this morning. And as we consider our text, let us consider why Jesus says what he says to Peter. And let's consider Peter's response, because I think there's something there that we can really resonate with this morning to convict us and to encourage us. And so let's direct our hearts and minds to God's word, starting in verse 31 through 34 of Luke chapter 22. It says, "Simon, Simon," the Lord speaking here, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me." Let's say a quick prayer for a blessing over God's word. Father, we pray that as we look at this text this morning, Father, that you would convict us, that you would strengthen us, and that you would point us to Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This past Sunday, we had a young families gathering. Like TJ said, I serve our young families here at Church of the Apostles. We had a little gathering, beautiful Sunday afternoon, just being with dozens of young families. And we did something a little bit different this past Sunday. We had the playground, we had some wiffle ball and things, but we ended up getting this massive parachute. You guys know what I'm talking about, this with the handles, and the little kids are all around. They love it, right? And you're kind of like doing this number up and down, and just the motion of the parachute going up and down is, I mean, they love it. It's so simple, but they're just smiles on their faces. Well, guys, I haven't done that probably since elementary school. And now I understand why they do it in PE class, because I about 6 minutes in, I mean, my shoulders are just burning, and I'm just like, all right, 10-minute break just for me. But that movement, it's so neat to see all the colors of the parachute kind of going up and down the kids. And as I think about that picture, I think about this word here in our text where Jesus says, "Simon, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you." That's the picture here. There's a the verb here is to shake violently, right? And obviously this is a picture of agriculture, of like purifying the wheat here. But for us, it may be helpful to think about that parachute going up and down and shaking you. And it's interesting that Jesus says, "Hey, Peter, as I'm going to the cross, here's what I need you to know. This is what I need you to know, that Satan's desire, his demand, he is asking that he can shake you. He can shake you. And I think Satan's desire for us is to do the same, to shake us, to rattle us. What could Satan do to rattle us that would just knock us off our guard as men? I want you to notice something that Jesus says that may be a little bit shocking here. Look at the text. Jesus says to Peter, Satan demands to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that no sifting would take place. Is that what the text says? Right? That you wouldn't be rattled. That Satan would, he'd get his hands off of you. No, that's not what the text says. What is Jesus' point? I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And guys, we need to hear this morning, that our prayer is not that we wouldn't be shaken, but that our faith would not fail in that shaking. Right? That Jesus' heart for us is that we would endure tough times. That we would stand firm through tough times. You see, that's what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to knock us off our guard. He's trying to disrupt us, displace us, so that we fall by the wayside. We're ineffective as husbands, as fathers, as friends. There's much that we can say about this text this morning. There's a couple of things that I do want to point out. Okay, and so if you're taking notes, maybe this is a good point to kind of to write something down here. Number one, notice it is the work of Christ that keeps us faithful, not our own. Right? Notice that it is the work of Christ that keeps us faithful and not our own. Because what does Jesus say? Simon, Satan demanded to have you, but what? I have prayed that your faith would not fail. Right? It's the work of Christ that holds us fast. Here's a little homework. If you guys need a good song to listen to this morning and reminder of this text, I want to encourage you, if you haven't listened to He Will Hold Me Fast by the Gettys, you need to go listen to that song immediately after this. He Will Hold Me Fast by the Gettys. Let me just consider these lyrics, the opening lyrics of this song. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, Christ will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. It's Christ that holds us faithful. The second thing I want you to note is, if you have your pen, mark where it says, behold, Satan demanded to have you. Circle that you, underline that you. My ESV has a little note by it, a little three by it. That is significant. Why? Because that you is plural. That's important. That you is plural. We don't think that because we see Simon, Simon. Right? We say, oh, he's talking up to Simon about Simon. Yes, and also no. Right? That this is a sifting of the brethren, not just Simon. Right? We may look at that text and say, oh, okay, it's just for Simon, and it is what it is, and we'll just move on. No, that's a, hey, Simon, Simon, Satan demanded to have you guys, everyone. That he might sift you like wheat. But then in verse 32, but I have prayed for you, singular. What in the world is going on here? That your faith may fail. Guys, this is such a key point here. Satan's agenda, his purpose is to shake the church, but our great mediator, our great Christ, prays for you. individually. So that when I come to Christ and say, Lord, help me, Chris Jackson, this morning in my circumstance, in my struggles, in my area of life and all things pertaining to me, help me, he hears and he works on behalf of me. But he does the same for you, brothers. He does the same for you. That we have a near and dear Savior who loves us individually. What a joy. What a encouragement to know that our Savior works for and to preserve us, to hold us fast. Third, Christ's priority in this conversation with Peter is long-term strengthening. Long-term strengthening. Jesus is saying, what matters most to me in the end is that your faith is firm and secure and true. And in order for that to be the case, it's got to endure the shaking by my might, by my power. But it isn't Jesus' only priority because Jesus prioritizes the strengthening of the brothers, right? Go back to what the text says here. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, what? Strengthen your brothers. Notice, guys, that after Peter's repentance, right? We're talking about where Peter denies Christ three times. Jesus is already saying, hey, when you turn back, when you repent from that and you come back, right? What's the priority? What's the priority? It's the strengthening of the brothers. It's the strengthening of the church. That the repentance that we display and show because of the power of Christ strengthens who? The church. Now, guys, let's be honest here. Do we want to see revival in our country, in our schools, in our cities, in our jobs, and in our own kids, in our own families? Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you right now, do not expect that to happen if you won't go up to your wife today and say, honey, I'm sorry. I've wronged you. The way that I talk to you, the way that I talk about you, my actions, the way that I have sinned against you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I've been convicted by God's word and by his spirit. Will you, please forgive me. Don't expect, God, don't expect revival to happen if we won't go up to our kids and to our grandkids and say, hey, the sin of complaining and laziness and bitterness and envy that I've called out in you, guess what, grandson? Guess what, 10-year-old that won't get up in the morning? That same thing is right here in my heart as well. It is close. And so you know what, me and you, let's seek the sufficiency and the forgiveness in Christ together. Do not expect to have revival without repentance. First in our own hearts and lives. Peter, when you have repented, strengthen the brothers. Guys, get this. There is no strengthening of the brothers. There is no strengthening of the church where there is no repentance. Because where there is no repentance, guess what? There's no gospel. Finally, after hearing these words from Christ, consider what Peter says in response here. Peter responds with what he thinks Jesus wants to hear, right? Look at verse 33. Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death, right? He responds with an unwavering confidence. Lord, I'm ready to go. Even to the grave. I'm going with you all the way. But guys, do you see how Peter's priority is not the same as Jesus' priority here? Peter's priority is his confidence. Jesus' priority is completed faith. Peter's priority is Peter's strength. I can do it. I can go all the way. Jesus' priority is the strength of the brothers, the body of believers. Two different priorities. And in a minute, when we turn to our discussion questions, that's something I want us to consider this morning, our priorities in light of what Christ's priorities are. Our passage closes with humbling words from Jesus. Jesus foretells of Peter's denial. The one who said that he would go all the way to the grave for Jesus denies even knowing him. And Jesus, right, clearly, Jesus knew that Peter would do this. It's been revealed to him. Jesus tells Peter what was going to happen. And can you imagine when that did come to pass? When Peter does deny Jesus three times, can you imagine the heartbreaking agony of Peter? Man, this is, that Peter must have felt then, right? The moment where Peter is confessing his great strength and his great confidence, what does Jesus do in this moment? He points out Peter's weakness, right? He points out where Peter fails. But we know that Jesus doesn't leave Peter there, right? Because Jesus is teaching Peter, leading Peter to say, it's not your strength, it's mine in you. The great point here that we need to pick up here is that the Lord Jesus knows our greatest weakness, our weakest moment. He knows our weakest moment, men. The moment in our lives where we genuinely find ourselves asking, am I even a Christian? I have those days, those times where I'm like, am I even a Christian? And the Lord is not shocked by those moments. But our text tells us what the Lord desires of us, that as we are shaken, that our faith would not fail. And I think this is what we should pray for. That, Lord, would you grant me a faith that would not fail, no matter the circumstances, because it's your work in me. At the end of the Gospel of John 21, after the resurrection, when Jesus is before Peter and the apostles, and he asked, Jesus asked Peter three times, "But do you love me?" And after Peter responds, "Yes," three times, Jesus says, "What? Tend my sheep. Tend my sheep." Brothers, our call to repentance and our call to believe the gospel starts with the deepest parts of our hearts and our desires. But as Christ works in us, he brings forth a care and a love and a mutual strengthening of one another. And this morning, I'm praying that the word of Christ would produce this within each one of us this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for, Father, I thank you for men who wake up early on a Tuesday and get here and open your word together to be encouraged, to be convicted, to be pointed to Christ. Father, thank you for each table, each family, each home here. And Father, we're asking that your word would do a great work in our hearts, but that by your Spirit, it would produce fruit, fruit of repentance and encouragement and strengthening. Father, I do pray for our dear brothers, Dorian and Graham. Father, I pray that the body would surround them and their family. Father, that you would grant peace to them. And that we have a great Savior who knows us, who prays for us, who hears us. Father, I thank you that Christ, he knows and he is so near to us. And so, Father, I pray that
that Christ would be so near to Dorian and to Graham and to their families and be near to us, Father. Thank you for what Christ has done. Father, thank you that even in our weakest moments, Christ is so near. And his great priority, his great desire is to see our faith secured. And so, Father, I pray that you would grant that kind of faith to this group this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.